So now we have these three terms. One is the individual consciousness. The second is cosmic consciousness. So there are things happening. Cosmic consciousness is not just earthly events, but not only just the material universe, but all the different worlds, many order of worlds. And then there is the transcendent. And the whole thing is that what really is happening out here. So individual first step, and I look at it like a spiritual evolution, which Shubhendu will describe much later. So in the beginning, it has to be individuals who will contact that reality. Human evolution will proceed like that. First living in the mind, and then you suddenly, what is this world? You want to make sense of it. You can't make sense, but there is an intuition about some higher reality. So you contact with different paths. Then each path becomes a sect. That, and then sects begin to, because after all, human beings, which is superior, which is inferior, and then it goes on. And for a long time, we have undergone this kind of a spiritual evolution. Its finest flowers are Rishi, Muni, sages, saints, yogis. But this too is only a preparation. The picture abhi baki hai. So, this was asked to Sri Aurobindo. Then he was said, oh, that person has written a poem about you, very flattering poem, apparently. Not flattering, he didn't use the word flattering, that hail last Rishi. But then it's not very, because, you know, what will happen? After this, there will be no Rishi. So it's good, he is praising you, but at the same time, the world is will never have another Rishi. He says, yes, because he'll have Superman, which will go one step further. So, very cryptically, because that's the inevitable future. So, we look at it like this, that, well, there is the absolute before space and time. So, what is he doing? Why does space and time come? There has to be a link between that and the cosmic consciousness. So, out of his own delight, not because of something, oh, I must do this for this purpose, that purpose, there is no purpose. There is delight unfolding itself. So in the process, delight wants to express, and one of the expressions of the delight is one becomes many. You know, as children, many of us have tried. I have tried practicing cricket at home with a little ball. Throw it on the wall and then you practice. It's very good for practice. But after some time, you can't enjoy it. You have to go to the real game where you are not alone, but many people are playing. So, ekoham bahushyam, that is the core truth. So then, for one to become many, there have to be many to start with, but not many who will just get lost. So the many, one and the many, both emerge in the supramental itself, before it has begun, in a form of a story, we are looking at it. So okay, so both have emerged, there are many, and there is the one in the, we have read that earlier in the supermind. Now, we'll play a game, and all of us said, yes, we'll play the game. So now for the game, divine Shakti emerges and she makes field. Game has to be extreme game. You see, that's why many people, extreme game has its own ultimate game, and it gives its own delight. Delight multiplies. That's why people go mountaineering and take adventure, do kayaking and all that. I don't know. Some people because they feel adventure. So this is the ultimate adventure. So if Divine Mother and all these Chinna Chinna, all of us as central beings, we have to decide, we have taken the ultimate adventure. Everything is possible. So plunge takes place, the field is created, all of us come. So then we can look at space and time in a very different way. Space and time, while at one level, is limiting. Because the divine is infinite. Space and time are, space is a kind of infinity but ever expanding. Time is a kind of infinity but yet moment to moment. So that's why there is something called as a time eternity and the timeless eternity. Time eternity, Shubhendu describes all this in Synthesis of Yoga last chapter. What is time eternity? Like, time will continue. Can we ever say time will stop tomorrow or one? Time won't stop. We will stop. And we also won't stop but come back again. But time, so there is a time eternity. That itself is a sign that it is the eternal who is impelling time. Similarly, does space stop that, okay, now it is the border? Recently, they have discovered that people used to talk about, you know, circumference of space and all. Now they discovered that there is, because now the telescope have become more powerful, that they have missed out on another 200 billion years, which is beyond the outer limits. And it is still expanding. So can we fix a limit of space? No. So it becomes space infinite. In the sense, it is, but we can't put a limit to it. Same with time, eternity. So this is how the game starts. So space and time are created. And then what is space? Space is regarded as the paper. And time is the writer. That's how it is described. Though Kabir gave an image, Saat sambandhate masi karo, lekhani sab banarai, dharti to kagat karo, hari gun likha na jai. But actually, time somehow doesn't figure here. So space is the paper and time is the writer. But he is still, he has to write what has been conceived by that which is beyond time. But when it writes on the paper, the cosmic gods come, human beings come, all the various. They don't know what is going to come, what is yet in the heart of the creator. That's why we will see that even the great yogis, the saints, even gods, they don't talk about the supramental, because that is still in the future. So in the context of space and time, gods have been created. Powerful gods, great gods, original gods. But they also don't know what is going to come next. That is held back in the heart of the one. So, and the heart of the one has come to us as the mother, and the mind of God has come to us as Sri Aurobindo. So that's why they are revealing to us this truth. So in space and time context, the story is going on. Now, another mistake that we make, which Sri Aurobindo will reveal to us, is that we think the story is finished. Many people, when they watch a movie, they say, how boring, how boring. Ticket de diya hai, dekh lo pura. No, you know. Maybe in a film it may turn out to be outright boring. But we have to wait for the last act and the last scene of the drama of God. The mistake is that individuals realizing the divine are beginning to believe that this is the last creativity of God. How do we know? From dust to man, man is not a very wonderful showcase product that God can say, see what I have created. More often than not, he is likely to see what happened. I was creating nice beings, till birds, they were so wonderful. But this man has come, even lion was more wonderful. Dogs were more faithful. But man, ho gaya galti, koi baat nahi, abhi aur kuch banayenge aage. Now, I'm not saying God made a mistake, but only that we cannot say that man is the final product. So we have to bring in this element of evolution. And here Sri Aurobindo introduces to us in a very simple way. And he gives one more very interesting logic about it. If the greater spiritual consciousness saw in things only unreality. Okay, once he has made unreality, Brahman went into the pash of Maya. But he'll realize it, no? He's after all Brahman. And once he sees, oh my God, this is what I've created, he will withdraw. As simple as that. Nothing else he has to do. If he withdraws, everything collapses. But he's not withdrawing. So there is a purpose in this game. If this greater spiritual consciousness saw in things only unreality and an entire disconnection with the truth of the spirit, it could not have. If it were itself a truth consciousness, any reason for maintaining them in continuous or recurrent existence through all time. If it so maintains them, it is because they are based on the realities of the spirit. There is a reason. why this is continuing, this game. And that we have to discover. And Sri Aurobindo, of course, reveals to us. And here comes another very interesting sutra. The last 3-4 pages of this chapter, we'll just read some sutras. Another very interesting sutra, because often when see contrasts, contraries. So human mind often declares either this is true or that is true. That's how we choose. See how we distort God's original plan. God's plan is, if he wants you to progress, he will put you with a partner which is just the opposite of what you are. I see many people smiling. But it's God's plan. It's not a random event. See, then you will grow and the other person will grow. If you want to grow, you may fight and take away, make each other bald. It's a different story. Because one person is bringing out something which is there in you but latent. This is the truth of complementarity. And the other person is bringing out in that person that which is latent. That's the original relation of earth and heaven. Prithvi, Rahi and Dyus, the heaven. So that's the whole beauty of all creation. So we have here, what our mind sees as contraries may not to the infinite consciousness, may be to the infinite consciousness, not contraries but complementaries. Essence and phenomenon of the essence are complementary to each other, not contradictory. Essence in a flower is, we know the fragrance. A flower may not be that pretty. Of course, flowers are very pretty, but still, you may take out as a bottle of ithr. But there is a reason why the two are together. Just imagine that fragrance of a perfume of a flower is hidden so deep. Why it is hidden so deep? Only the honey we will come and discover it and cross-pollinate, carry it all around. If it is on the surface, so many beings will come, probably eat it away. There is such a way the wisdom works. Everything has its purpose and plan. So, this is the first sutra, and then another sutra. It is supposed that it is only through a negation of individual and cosmos that we can enter into the absolute. This is what we are told. But Sri Aurobindo, but in fact, the individual need only deny his own small separate ego existence. And this is a basis, spiritual basis of it. Our true individuality, its origin is the supermind, central being. That's what we had read in the earlier chapters. So what is the psychic being? From that central being, a little ray has come here that develops into the psychic being, but always supported by the central being. Always, the central being and the divine are always connected. They are managing this process. And it will take it through all the experiences toward that, because that is the place where the origin is. So he reminds us that what we have to get rid of is only our small separate ego existence. It's so simple actually. What is the kolavari? I mean, it's all that is required is the ego must go. I suppose that was the reason why in ancient times in initiation, you have to forget everything and a new name was given. You have Swami and a new name, whatever. Let's say Atma and Ananda. So in the beginning is Swami, better you be a master of yourself, Swami and Ananda. You must be always full of Ananda. Otherwise you are not a Swami. If you are getting cross, angry and you have to be that. So it was a way of forgetting your past. Many traditions did that. That you have to discover the new truth. So ego-based personality, many practices. But we don't have to do that. We have to get rid of it inside. Why? Because Sri Aurobindo is taking us through the way of the Gita. In the Gita, it's not sannyas, but tyag. Many people misquote Gita, no? Karma yoga, so you don't have to leave anything. No. You have to leave your ego self. Ego self and divine don't go together. I mean, he'll stand behind. So getting rid of ego self doesn't mean getting rid of individuality. In fact, it means discovering the true individuality as the mother's child. How beautiful it is. And then we can look upon everyone as mother's children. How beautiful it will be. Maybe mother's children may little bit get irritated sometimes. It's a reminder, my sadhana is still not complete. They may tell each other, but always we are like her children, therefore brothers and sisters. That is the secret of fraternity. So this is what she says. He says, he can approach the absolute through a sublimation of his spiritual individuality, taking up the cosmos into himself and transcending it. Or he may negate himself altogether, but even so it is still the individual who by self-exceeding enters into the absolute. That's the beauty, the way, even self-realization. And then he gives the reconciling, but we are just touching upon. So page 496. So what is the problem here? In fact, our consciousness is a mixture of the true and the false. This is the difference between our vision of each other and the divine vision. We look at each other's false very easy. As Shobindu says, the sense of sin was created so that man can get rid of his defects. But man has answered to God's plan by a greater smartness or something, cleverness. That he has become acutely aware of the sins of others, but totally oblivious of his own. So it was meant that, well, this is what we get. It's not sin, it's something which you have to get rid of. It's the stage of evolution. So he says, but in fact, our consciousness is a mixture of the true and the false. This is the last reconciliation he will do toward the end, truth and falsehood. Before that, many other. Illusion and Brahman is reconciled now. Hopefully, they are quite happy with each other. So, we come. And why? And the false, its acts and creations are not a pure invention, a baseless structure. The structure it builds, its form of things or form of the universe is not a mixture of reality and the unreal, so much as a half comprehension, a half expression of the real. So we should not say, oh, this is all falsehood and get rid of it. We have to understand why it is there. It is serving a purpose. It is very difficult sometimes, you know, to see that human beings suffer because of this. But you have to understand that they have to go through the process. One of my doctor friends went to his Dadaji in Ames, and when he was dying, he said, why are you have been reading the Gita? You know, there is only Atman, and why you are, it's not good. And he gave a good lecture on the Gita. Poor Dadaji listens. Marta kya na garta. And then of course he died. That night he was describing to me, his Dadaji came. And he started, as his Dadaji came in his dream, he experienced a deep pain in the chest. Very terrible pain. He's a doctor. He felt, I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm going to die. So he got up suddenly with lot of sweating and the pain is now slowly subsiding. Then he told before parting, you know this pain? This is the pain one experiences during death. So he says, my God, I was taking it all so casually. So he gets up and he randomly, just to read something from Sri Aurobindo to relieve himself, picks out the book and randomly picks out the Upanishads. Commentaries on the Upanishad. So Prashna Upanishad has this description. Nadi ek shatay cheka, that there are 100 knots through which the heart strings are tied to the soul. And it is this pain which is experienced at the time of death. So how to get rid of it? Be detached during life. This is what the tyaga. If you have experienced tyaga, you are in the world but not of the world, there will be no pain. Easy. Transit, because there is no exit. But if one is attached, then there is tremendous pain. Of course, some people will say, abhi maja le lete hai, us samay pain hoga thoda, dekhenge. But it's a pain of, you can imagine, all that we think is so near, real, dear is being taken away. That's why many experiences of life in which we lose things are a little bit of a preparation. They are actually all a blessing. So here he says that, for that person, the structure one builds are true, but they are all half-truths. For instance, the person who seeks justice, mere saath anyay hua hai, half-truth. Hua hoga. But he has to take toward that greater truth of compassion, of love, but he's not ready for that. So at points of time, people have to go through these experiences. All world existence is manifestation, but our ignorance is the agent of a partial, limited and ignorant manifestation, in part an expression, but in part also a disguise of the original being, consciousness and delight of existence. The story is like a child playing with toy, and mother one day sees, like now ultimately parents will do that with smartphone and WhatsApp. They'll start locking. Children are very smart. They will find how to unlock. So anyways, this is the problem now. You know, they have got a new toy. See, mothers used to take away toy after some time. You know, go and study. So Sam Altman said, how can that be? Mark Zuckerberg, all these people. Said, yeah, you can take away the toy and make children educated, conscious, wise. I won't allow. I'll give a toy and you try now. So now there is such a toy that is so difficult. And we blindly believe everything that comes. Are aisa hua tha, are aisa hua tha. Unthinkingly. So that toy is being used. So this is how the toys are given to play with. So in it has its place. Toys have their place. But if toys begin to obsess us, parents take it away, because it's not enough to play with the toy plane. You have to fly the real plane. So hearts of human love get broken to understand there is a diviner way to love. We take the other recourse. Stop loving everything, everybody. So you have to go through that process. This is what, there is a purpose. And then finally he says, but if this world has at its roots an evolutionary principle, if our ignorance is a half knowledge, evolving towards knowledge, another account and another issue and spiritual result of our existence in material nature, a greater manifestation here becomes possible. This is Sri Aurobindo's ultimate hypothesis, that this is this ignorance is basically a preparation, and we actually see this happening in the world. If we take not in immediate short term, even in immediate short term, I was very touched with the story of a boy who studied here, was taken out because teachers, lot of you went into drugs. So they told the mother he should be out. Mother said okay. So then obviously the parents suffered a lot, went away. Not only he went away, he took drugs and everything. Ultimately he was a nervous wreck, admitted in a hospital. This is a very touching story, told to me by the father. So it has such a deep meaning. So he had gone to meet this boy on his deathbed. At 40, he developed colon cancer, spread. So ultimately, though he had become a recluse, abandoned mutually, whatever it is, like, because he's not listening anything. But father, naturally, you know, he is a devotee, and he felt something and he went there because he came to know that, well, he is on the deathbed. So father goes and he meets him. He was sharing this story that, you know, how that last meeting was so important, because this is a big burden. So when he meets him, his son told him two things. He said, Dad, I want to tell you, I know I have been wayward, I have done all kinds of things, I have hurt you and every hurt myself, but I want to tell you two things before I depart. So father is listening what he will say. Maybe he'll complain like that Mother India hero, you are responsible, nothing. He said, you know that before I went out, I had to see the mother. So he says, yes. So you know what happened? He said, I don't know. You just went away. You went your way. He said, the mother told me two things. She told me, remember me always. He's being condemned by everybody into drugs and all. Second thing she told me, know that the mother always loves you. He says, through all my vagaries, this has held me. And today I finally realize the full import of what it means. See, it's an evolutionary journey. Maybe one life one may not realize. I had the same thing here with that person who died now, and alcoholic, who would come and we would have a near scuffle, and one day finally he comes. That day I also saw him near the samadhi, and I said, oh, if he has faith in the mother, who am I to, you know, let him drink whatever he wants to do. All this feeling came, lot of heart of love. And that very day he comes to our dispensary, and I told him, I want to tell you something. He said, I also want to tell you something. Always he would come and fight. Fight means try to make sure. I took it like a test. Anger ka test hai mera. So he comes and tells me something very interesting. He said, actually, you know what? I don't want to fight with you. Because ultimately, you know, we are here for love, something mother is, something he told. I said, exactly, this is what I want to tell you. That you are also a child of the mother, you have love for the mother. Who am I to judge you in all these things? And then what he said blew off my mind. An avowed alcoholic, wayward man. I mean, totally somebody outwardly would call a gone case. And he tells me, when I said, I felt looking at you at the samadhi that you have love for the mother, all the rest is unimportant. He tells me, who else is there to love? I remember, I was blown off, I was speechless. I said, this man has taught me a great lesson. So you see, there is, that's what he was saying, superficial being on which the law of karma, which is to shape us, touches of the divine craftsman to shape us. But deep inside, this is the truth of all of us. And this truth will ultimately evolve. Sometimes even in one life we can see. Even though the outer nature cannot change its ways, this deeper truth begins to grow and assert itself. Sometimes we need to take another life because, well, beyond a point, the outer nature is refusing. There is obstinate resistance. So there is another life through which the evolution takes place. And with this wonderful truth, we enter into the next chapter. We'll just touch upon it. Chapter 7, the knowledge and the ignorance. So now the issue is illusion and Brahman, that is settled. But still there is ignorance. Ignorance is, as he has just mentioned passingly, partial knowledge. We don't know the full things. And because we don't know, supposing we saw in everybody something of the divine, we will not fight. We will always be full of hope. But we are unable to see. That's why we fight. So that's ignorance. Not that what we are seeing is not true, but it's partial truth. We don't know the total truth. And that's why we fight. So we start page 499. All our powers, all are powers of the one power of being, and not other than that all existence. All consciousness, all will, all delight, which is the true truth behind every appearance. If we can, you know, I often give this example. If a lady is angry at you, understand, say, Ma Durga, Namo Nama. If she is very angry at you, Ma Kali, tumhara to ego theek hoga. Baki, leave it. It's a process through which, you know, of course, the lady can also see Ma Devi in you. But the point is that, well, we can look at the whole thing as children of the same mother. We may superficially sometimes fight, but deep inside, can we deny this truth? And if you remember this truth, then all our fights and quarrels will be like ripples on the surface. Ultimately, when this changes, there will be no fights and quarrels. But even otherwise, it will be revealed after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe. Okay, it's okay, yaar. We are all children of the mother. And we are all, and not only within this, this is a little experimental laboratory, but in the whole world. Even when we see things which strike us, children of the mother. So this is where, because there is only one, all will, all delight, which is the true truth behind every appearance. This is a masterpiece. We don't understand our problem. But can we deny God is not there? He is there. She is there. And first meditation, often, people often wonder and they say, I came to ashram and with this, that, and then I see this, I see that, I see all the hostile things, and I see you are not expected to meditate on hostile forces, okay? If you meditate on hostile forces, you will end up seeing everybody as hostile. So first practice Sri Aurobindo gives in yoga and its objects. First practice which he himself did, to see the divine in everyone and everything. And what better place than ashram, because you see all the varieties. That's the beauty. It really gives you that you have to end up seeing the divine in everyone and everything. If one can see here, one can see everywhere. So this is the elementary, that all are children of the one mother. Here he is speaking in a very intellectual language, because that's the need of philosophy. And they are not only one in the reality, beautiful, but the inseparable, but also inseparable in the sevenfold variety of their action. They have to be different. Don't try to change other and make like you. God will say, I am trying him to be different than you. Why are you making him or her like you? I don't want a boring world. I don't want two leaves to be the same. I don't want two grasses to be the same. The same sky has different colors morning to night. Please don't try to make others like yourself. That will be the most boring world, which is not the object. That was Tolstoy's story, that everybody should wear the same dress. One of the things that strikes to many, should strike. So I ask them sometimes that what are the differences you see between this ashram and many others. So among the other differences, and people speak there, have you seen there is no dress code for an ashramite? There is no separate queues for a boy and a girl. They are small little things. Even in the dining room. And why it is so? Because we have to at one level understand, I am here. That's a blessing and a tremendous grace. But it doesn't mean God dwells only in us. He is everywhere and in everything. And that is the fundamental truth. And this is a beautiful passage, so we'll read it. They are the seven colors of the light of the divine consciousness, the seven rays of the infinite. And by them the spirit has filled in on the canvas of his self-existence, conceptually extended. Space is his conceptual extension. Canvas, he becomes the canvas. Where will be the canvas? And see how he writes. Woven of the objective warp of space and the subjective woof of time. What a masterpiece this. Just as a sentence, it's so powerful. Warp of space and the woof of time, through which he is weaving something. All the colors are there. Red, green, blue, orange. It should be like that. That's how it becomes beautiful. Of course, evolution is there. But right now, he's speaking of that. You may be here. You can move on to the other. And something else will come here. The myriad wonders of his self-creation. Great. This description is just, I can't help. It's very delightful. So what is he saying? Myriad expression, wonders of his self-creation. And then he is using a language. See, only Sri Aurobindo can use like that. Great. Great, we understand. Simple. Greatness is simple. He becomes a child. He becomes a grass, blade of grass. He becomes a particle of grain of sand. He becomes the galaxies. He becomes the multiverses. He laughs in the boy and blushes in the girl. The hand that sent Jupiter spinning through heaven spends all its cunning to fashion a curl. This is a meditation line worth meditating passage. Great, simple, symmetrical in its primal laws and vast framings. There are some fundamental laws. We all know. Physicists are discovering it. At the same time, vast framings. Where do they apply? Does Newton's law apply only here? Does the Einsteinian relativity apply only here? No, anywhere you go in the creation. Vast framings. Infinitely curious and intricate in its variety of forms and actions and the complexities of relation and mutual effect of all upon each and each upon all. It's a grand orchestra. And all of us have our own role. But our problem is we are seeing Uska, how he is playing the tabla. Are you play your basuri. You have to tune. Imagine what it will be in the supramental creation. These are the seven words of the ancient sages. Sapta Govaha. Thought. The sevenfold thought. The ninefold thought of the rishis. The Sapta Swara. These are the seven words of the ancient sages. By them have been created and in the light of their meaning are worked out and have to be interpreted. The developed and developing harmonies of the world we know and the worlds behind of which we have only an indirect knowledge. The light, the sound is one. Their action is sevenfold. This is how the whole thing has been created. But all the variety, it takes us, just meditating on this passage takes us into the beyond and liberates us. But at the same time, this is a total vision. This total vision can be compared to when you watch a television and you are watching a lion crouching below or a tiger. Lions don't crouch, they go straight. But okay, tiger crouching and then he's chasing and then divorce a deer and you're watching all this, you're here, you're enjoying it. This is okay. You can see the totality. Now imagine you are in that jungle. Arre humne dekha tha TV par, bada maza aata hai. Tiger, deer ke upar hum bhi dekhe thoda khade hoke. They take us in the tiger safaris. I have gone in one of them. And I have real experience of it, that going in the safari in Masai Mara. So I told them that I want to get down and not allowed. So once they stopped and driver was somewhere and I mean he was looking that side of probably. I just stole, like quietly opened. But because I was the so-called chief guest, nobody told anything, I went out. I experienced that what jungle is. No, nothing is nearby. But there is an intense fear all around. Because all the creatures are, there is a struggle for survival taking place. And I am wondering why this experience. Is there a lion nearby? Is there a serpent nearby? Nothing. All the trees are there. I wonder, is it hiding somewhere? But nothing within range. But that's the experience. Suddenly by then the driver came and gave a good scolding. I was inside. So the two experiences, one when you see it from, like the gods look at us, and one when you enter into this. So that's where we will stop today. Page 500. But here, there is a world based upon an original inconscience. Here, consciousness has formulated itself in the figure of an ignorance laboring towards knowledge. There must somewhere be the execution, the creation, actual or intended, a universal harmony. So how is it laboring towards knowledge? There must be some direction, some aim which has already been foreseen. He's leading us to supermind in so many ways. So all this ChatGPT search, type the word supermind, supramental, is all bogus. All this is about supermind, but you don't get it by the word. And this is so important. One will miss it. So there must somewhere be the execution, because it's moving in a certain direction, the creation, actual or intended, a universal harmony into which these contrary elements do not enter, these contrary elements. The Vedic seers were conscious of such a divine self-manifestation and looked on it as the greater world beyond this lesser, a freer and wider plane of consciousness and being. It's not elsewhere. Even here, you can enter into that plane and life changes. Otherwise, you enter here in this plane, even if you are right near the divine, still the experience is different. the truth creation of the creator, which they described as the seal, seat or own home of the truth, as the vast truth or the truth, the right, the vast, or again as a truth hidden by a truth, where the son of knowledge finishes his journey and unleashes the horses, where the thousand rays of consciousness stand together, so that there is that one, the supreme form of the divine being. The lower is for us the first condition of the higher. The darkness is the dense body of the light, because light is hidden there. The inconscient guards in itself all the concealed superconscient. So this is the process, and that's what she is creating here in this ashram and eventually in the world. That original home of truth. All the contrary element, because can that divine disown, I disown him? He cannot. So all contrary types of variety of humanity, all the contrary experiences brought together and being molded into a home of truth according to the original plan. So this is how it is, and we'll read. Now the world is also becoming that, because ultimately it is extended all over. And we'll come back tomorrow and continue. Jema.